because of the necessity of the content of the situation, which is, or the session rather, which is around the NTIA transition and recognizing that the overall situation is relatively fluid. We wanted to make sure that the panel or the session that we conduct today is going to be of the most value possible. Hence, it's been a work in progress up to, well, before lunch. Anyway, with that, I'm going to turn it over to Roelof, who will be chairing our session.
Okay, thank you, Byron, and my apologies for being late, either characteristically or uncharacteristically. My role will be to give this introduction, and what I'll also try to do after each, and Byron said something about it, after each speech session, I'll try to give a wrap-up, and I'll try to feel the temperature of the room. I know this is a kind of a charged phrase, but to see if we have a rough consensus. There's quite a bit of work coming towards us. What we're dealing with this afternoon in this session are the two main things. It's the IANA oversight transition, or the IANA stewardship transition, and it's the ICANN accountability process. We've quite a few working groups and a coordination group coming up, and this session will mainly focus on the latter. How do we get CCTLD participation or appointments into that coordination group for the IANA stewardship transition? I think with that, I'll hand over back to the moderator, Byron.
All right, thank you very much.
What I think I should also do is, so we're going to have three speed panels, and the first one will be about what is going to be the mandate, or how are we going to establish the mandate for the CCTLD representatives in that coordination committee. The second one will deal with how are we going to run a selection process, and the third one will be about the selection criteria. Back to you, Byron.
Thank you very much. Yeah, so just to reinforce, there will be three separate short subject matter panels, and we will be trying to take the temperature of the room and to get both input, so spoken input, but also make sure you have your cards, red, orange, green cards nearby, and that will help us get a sense of where the community's at on some of the topics. As Roelof mentioned, there's a considerable amount of work through a number of different work streams to be done, all of which we are going to have to participate as CCTLD managers and operators, CCNSO members, regional organization members, etc. So making sure that we are appropriately resourced across the different streams is part of the important work that we have to do here today to give the council some guidance on selection, etc., later this afternoon and into the near future. So to give us a little bit of a sense of where we're going and provide an overall picture, Bart has done a little work and is going to walk us through what this is shaping up to look like.
Some of you will have seen it on a Sunday afternoon session. Bear with me. This is a mind map of say the processes and the needs for capacity, for say the workload and activities of the CCNSO and broader CCTLD community. I've separated two, say the list of working groups and other activities we already are undertaking, not directly related to the IANA function process and or the enhancing accountability. That includes, for example, the work of the SOP and ongoing work from the FOI, future work like the retirement of CCTLDs, and there will be some other, or the cross-community working groups on the use of country and territory names. That's all under other requirements and working group and the list of working groups. So I'll drill down a little bit in what is say, all the related processes and activities regarding the IANA function and their related processes. So the first one, it's very clearly, is the IANA oversight transition process itself. The second one, and this is just the high-level overview, the second one is around enhancing ICANN's accountability. The third one, and this is more an internal process for the CCNSO and the regional organizations, is how do we engage the community, the broader community? We have done some calculations, and there are around 50-plus CCTLD managers who are neither member of the CCNSO or the ROs. And finally, knowing these different processes, how are we going to coordinate all our efforts between these two? So now I'll drill down a little bit more into the IANA oversight transition process. First of all, you will have the ICANN process, which is currently running. And secondly, and some of you may have heard it already, you got the CCWG, so a new a SONAC initiative to deal with these topics. You have the same structure around the accountability process.
Whoa, Bart. Bart. How much deeper are we going here?
Oh, I can go as deep as you want, four or five layers, so...
Time out. My mind is about to blow apart like those.
Yeah.
I think I have a simpler way to view this.
Yeah, okay, sorry. How I do this.
I think what we're going to see right here is how Bart's mind works versus my mind.
I can't find it over.
And I can assure you, mine is definitely simpler. Here, can you put up the way I look at it?
Yeah, we're trying. So I'll put up this one.
I think one thing we can take away, and there will be no test on this, there are a lot of streams of activity for us to be engaged in, and not optional streams either. We must participate in all of them. So I put up something here that is just the buckets of work that I believe, in consultation with many colleagues in council, are the key streams of work that need to be resourced by people, by this community, the CCNSO, RO, and let's call them unaligned CCTLD community members. And if we just take a look at the top blue box, we have the IANA Stewardship Transition Coordinating Committee, where we have four seats at that 27-seat table. So that in itself is expected to be a material amount of work for the CC members who participate there. Sort of early estimates are maybe 10 hours a week-ish. So it's a material commitment to be one of those four people. And of course, it's not just speaking on that coordinating committee about CC-related interests, but it's also very much bringing back to the CC community what's happening at that committee, both to the CCNSO and to the CCTLD community and RO community at large. So that's one of the key buckets of work that we have to participate in. Second level, there is the already commenced cross-community working group on internet governance. It specifically carves out all IANA-related activities, but it is definitely a relevant and related stream of work that we must participate in to some degree, even if it's only reporting back into this community. We have the cross-community working group on ICANN accountability. That's still taking shape, so we don't yet know what's going to be required, but that will be a level of effort that needs to be resourced by us. We have the cross-community working group on IANA transition, second level, third from the left. And that is a cross-community working group that has been spearheaded by the CC and the G community coming together with the other directly affected parties of the IANA functions, which include the root zone maintainer, today VeriSign, as well as the root operators. That group came together to make sure that the directly affected parties had a strong voice into the process, but have also invited other communities to participate, and I know that ALAC has already said that they will participate, as well as ESSAC. Last box on the right is what we're termed the nominating committee. Let's say it's more a selection committee for the four candidates who are going to go to the coordinating committee, the ICANN coordinating committee. So determining how we're going to best represent ourselves there and select those members, given the assumption that more than four people put their names forward. In addition, there's more internal work here at CCNSO Internet Governance Review Working Group. That's something that's already happening here and needs to continue to happen in some way, shape, or form. The middle bucket on the bottom, CCNSO Working Group on IANA Transition, that doesn't exist yet, but with all of these different activities in play, we will probably need some kind of coordinating group and group that is feeding into the four candidates on the coordinating committee to make sure they're being provided with the kind of information they need. And then also, there is a short-term need for a drafting team to draft the charter for the cross-community working group on IANA transition. And that, in a sense, is really just on the IANA transition side. For the most part, we know that when the accountability piece starts to get cleared up, there'll be work required over there, too. So I think this, as much as possible, simply reflects the different work streams that we will be required to participate in. We know there's four members at the top. Cross-community working group is probably four members as well. And as you can see in this community, we'll have to make sure we're strategic about getting all of these resourced in a meaningful way. So that's just to give us a sense of the lay of the land. Obviously, I would encourage you to also look at Bart's mind map in a small, dark, and quiet room where you can focus. because it does go into much greater detail, and when you have the time to review it, gives actually a better sense of the overall picture. And I know it's posted on our site.
Yeah. It's already posted as part of the presentation, so...
Thank you, Bart. So with that, we're going to move into the three distinct sections of this session that we wanted to talk about, or that we wanted to present. As I said to begin with, we do need this to be interactive. So the conversation today, or right now, is literally going to feed into the thinking within the council meeting just following this as we try to wrestle with how are we going to set up the selection committee? What are some of the criteria going to be? And what are the types of things that we're going to take into consideration when making those selections? So the first panel we have is with Lise and Oscar, and it's around the IANA coordination group and what the mandates or the requirements of the CCTLD appointees should look like. So the idea here is for this session for us to have that conversation, for you to provide feedback and input and help give all of us a sense as to how are we going to best affect those decisions. And probably just leading into that conversation, it's important to note that those four folks, they're not going to be free agents. They're not going to be able to go up to the coordinating committee and speak on their behalf or their interests, per se. They need to be reflective of the broad community interests. So it's going to be important when putting names forward and when selecting that it's not one's personal interests or organizational interests that are going to be reflected at the coordinating committee. It's the CCTLD community's interests that are going to be reflected by those four participants to the best of their ability. So that's what we want to talk about with the first speed panel, which is Lise and Oscar. Thank you very much. So one of the first questions that we wanted to ask is, how best do you think we can start to define what that looks like, being representative of the views versus representing the views of the community?
How what? How?
No, I just wanted to get your take on when those candidates are put forward, how are they best going to be able to think about representing the community's views, I guess, in a sense, disassociating from their own perhaps personal or organizational views?
Well, as you say, if you're not a free agent, you need to have a framework to work within. And I think it would be very nice if the CCNSO and the regions would form a kind of a framework for wishes for the IANA transition. And I think this is going to be very tough because in the beginning of a process like this, it's always very slow, and then it speeds up. And then it's when it speeds up, you want to be agile and you want to be able to really communicate with the community. And I think this is a two-way thing. So the candidate, of course, should communicate, but it's also very important to have a group that will feed those guys, because I was on the ATRT too, and I hardly got any input from this community. And that is really, we need to, every CCTLD, be active in this if we want it to be representative.
Well, I think that one of the most relevant things will be the coordination among these different working groups and task forces and whatever they are called, because there will be a lot of information, related information, and it will be very important to define a not only a framework of to take decisions, but also to share that information and to share all that documentation and papers and drafts that may be published among them before they are published to the broader public. But also I think that this will be highly dependable on the selection process and the selection criteria, because we may end up defining a different criteria for purposes of time, but maybe those people that selected people won't have the broader views of the community. So in that case, they have to come back faster and more often to know to communicate and to share all the information presented in the working group. So otherwise, it will present a bigger challenge.
So I think I heard several different elements there. One is the need, and especially interesting based on the ATRT 2 work that you did, Lise, is community input into the members of the this coordinating committee so that they can have a better sense of the views to articulate. So something feeding into those four members, not just setting them adrift on their own up there. The other thing that I heard, Oscar, I think, made two comments in there. One is the need to have regular communication back out of the steering of the coordinating committee on a very timely basis, so that we in the broad CCTLD community, not just CCNSO, not just the ROs, but the entire TLD community, CCTLD community, are continuously updated. The follow-on point to that, I think, that I heard was the timeliness element. And I think that's a key theme that's going to run through this is there is a date out there, September 15. It is a date, and there's discussion on whether we need to meet that date, but nonetheless, it is an important date, whether it's exactly met or not. And in order to make this process happen, there's going to have to be a very time-sensitive back and forth. And to that end, it probably means that we as a community are going to have to go with sort of the equivalent of a rough and running code and good enough, as opposed to perfect. Is that, did I summarize that effectively? Can I get any input or feedback? Is that approximately where most people's head would be at on this subject? 1, 2, 3. Okay. Nigel, to begin with.
Well, in one word, yeah. But there's one thing I'm concerned about, and I heard it from Teresa Swinehart, which is I get the impression if we don't do something, they're just going to do it without us and we're going to be late to the party again, just like the UK is in most EU things. So. We've got to do something.
Well, in the first place, I would like to voice my irritation about the topic being discussed right now because it hasn't been properly announced. At least this is what I feel concerning to the matter at hand. I'm a bit irritated about the diversity of the different blue boxes you called quite easy in their separation. And I certainly feel that there's a whole of a lot of overlap of a group that is concerned with internet governance as it would refer to accountability or as compared to the IANA transition process. So, and if there's a substantial overlap, yes, I would feel the same. But the panelists have been voicing that one major topic we should deal with is try to get coordination between the different groups. But then I doubt that we really slice the elephant in a good way. I just wouldn't slice it that way.
Thanks, Martin Boyle from Nominate. Yeah, I certainly would agree with what Jörg's just said. But I'd like to pick up on a point that I think it was Lisa made about the process will take a little bit of time to start kicking off, but when it kicks off, the time for thinking is already past. So right at the very early stage, I think whoever are our nominees for the various groups, we do as a community need to start thinking about what are the issues that are of particular concern to us, and most importantly, of what roughly looks good and what certainly looks bad. Because by the time that discussion goes on, we, I think, as a community need to have some very clear ideas of where the discussion should not go. And if we wait until those issues come up on the day, it's already going to be too late for us to get a coherent view into the mix. Thanks.
And was there somebody over here? No. I think Jörg and Martin have picked up on essentially the theme here, which is about timeliness. The reason, as I said at the start, that there wasn't an explicit and detailed agenda is because the situation is fluid and fast-moving. And I think you're expressing irritation, which is going to be a common theme, probably, that the situation is going to be fluid and fast-moving, and we will have to be responsive to it overall. And we need to be prepared. And right now we're in the storming / forming stage, but we are a long way away from the norming stage.
All right, then. So now a more constructive comment. I think it might be crucial to get at least a sketch out of what this community thinks that a solution should look like so that we do not get in a mode where those four representatives are in a situation where they have to transport information back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, because even they do not know where the community wants them to go. So it might be better to roughly sketch out where we want to go and make them represent the model we think is appropriate in a way that it would be really like four voices articulating the same thing, instead of listening, taking back, taking force. So basically, recommendation to come up with something that roughly fits our model of how this the whole is going to be designed.
Thanks. It looks like it's turning into a bit of a German-English dialogue. I think I would disagree with the idea of we should be at this stage focusing on what model we want. I think we need to be very much more flexible than that and actually start to think about, as I put it, you know, what looks good and what looks bad. In other words, what are the principles that, and I'd refer to the centre paper that got circulated around the community, where you look at what the principles for providing the service are, and then to look at the risk factors, and then when something happens quickly, the people who are on the committee can try and map whatever proposals somebody is proudly presenting and see whether it actually fits or not. And that, I think, is probably the most important role for the person who's sitting on that coordinating group. And I promise I won't take the microphone again, even if York does.
Are there any other comment or feedback or reaction to at first the like opinions and then the differing opinions? I'll let you finish the email that you're working on right now and then I'll come to you. Liz.
I agree. I certainly agree with Martin. I don't think a model would be a good at this stage. If you have four people that are bound to a specific model, it's going to be a war between the members of the coordination committee. I think it's very important that we make some principles, a framework, and we have processes to reach the community fast for these members, because they need to be able to send out and get responses very fast, and they need to have responses. But the good thing is that there are four people, and therefore, as far as I'm informed, they're going to be within the CCNSO and outside the CCNSO. So we'll have a variety here, and we'll be able to reach far out to the many different communities.
Thanks. And one of the things, just to take note too, in the bottom middle blue bucket actually speaks to having a CCNSO-specific working group on this, which doesn't exist yet, is only there as a placeholder, but perhaps it's the vehicle for feeding into the four candidates. Mathieu.
Thank you, Byron. Mathieu Vey from Dodefar. I was thought I'd step in into the Anglo-German discussion. It's usually what we do. Elaborating on what you said on the additional working group of the CCNSO to follow all those processes, with two comments. One is, I was in the GAC session earlier, and what they're considering is a GAC contact group that is common to the different tracks to avoid being sidelined by the different and put into contradiction with ourselves. And one step further, let's simplify this on the CCNSO level as much as possible. And if needed, and I think that's needed, let us seize the opportunity to remove some working groups that are lower priority to lower the volunteer fatigue that I think a number of us are feeling right now.
Thanks. That's probably a good suggestion right there. Any other comments? I know Jörg's dying to make another one, so anybody else? Anybody else on my way back there? And Roloff, I'm going to give you another moment or two to get ready for the summary, because we're going to wind this one down and go into the next one shortly.
Well, I just want to mention that I do like the idea of coming up with values and principles, and I think it was a good thing for the or at the Net Mondial. But taking the problem at hand, we currently have, and I'm predominantly seeing the IANA transition over here. I personally do not see that this is rocket science, and if it is not rocket science, we do not need, from my point of view, we do not need abstract principles. And the danger that comes for me with abstract principles is, even those principles, you got to define them very clearly. And I'm not sure whether we do speak about the same things under a certain principle. So one example, let us, for example, just cite what the Net Mondial statement on privacy said. And that was, you shouldn't be subject to arbitrary or unlawful surveillance. So what does that principle or value really mean? It means completely different things to completely different states and people. And if we come up with a solution like that, only stating values and principles, just might not fit the problem at hand, which I think is a lot easier for CCs.
Byron, I'm conscious that I'm the chair, so I don't want to interfere in the discussion, but I have to summarize, and I now understand what Jörg doesn't want, but I didn't get what he wants.
Are you asking me to go back to him? Okay.
Under the condition that he only states what he wants.
This is the 30-second speed round, Jörg.
Okay. Shit.
Okay, he wants shit.
That was 28.
Well, basically, what I do want is a seamless process for technical functions that are associated or related to an IANA function. I want a process that is completely automatically, that is stable, that is resilient, and so forth. So just a distinction between a technical function, and that we can do very easily. We could associate that with service level agreements, and it will just be it. So there's just one very tiny problem we got to solve, and that is redelegation and delegation. And you know my position about redelegation. There's no problem to solve either, because that is a local consideration and decision. So the only thing we got to come up with a solution for is the delegation process. Good enough?
Thank you, Jörg. Just that one little simple thing around delegation, right? Okay. Roloff, I'm going to get to ask you to be ready. Oscar, and then I'm going to make a comment. Oscar, go ahead.
Yes, just bear in mind that how long it took us to define the CCTLD principles 12 years ago. So we should not try to come up with the very specific principles, but broader sentences and more general ideas. Otherwise, it will take us forever to come up with a set of ideas.
But I think it's safe to say, too, that the folks who are going to be on that coordinating committee are not there and are not empowered to make decisions on behalf of the CCNSO. Would there be broad agreement for that? You all have your cards, so just to say it again while you take a look and find a card, let me restate the question, which is, do we agree, this would be green, that the candidates on the coordinating committee are not empowered to make decisions on their own on behalf of the community? Do we agree with that? Green? Okay, so of those putting cards up, the very significant majority are green. We've got an orange and a red. Roll off.
Okay, thank you, Byron. First of all, I'll take the opportunity to repeat something I've been saying quite a lot, but Jörg tempted me. Still too often we refer to the IANA transition, and that's why we start talking about delegation and redelegation. This is about the oversight over the IANA transition, not about the IANA function itself. And I cannot underscore how important this point is, because it gets the whole discussion out of scope if we do not get this clear. And it's all over the place, this mistake. Having said that, to try to summarize what I think we have a rough consensus about, the four representatives from our community should communicate back out on a regular basis. They are supposed to seek, but that also means that they are supposed to get input from the community, from us. An important factor is that this is going to be a time-sensitive process. We don't have lots of years. We need to conclude next year, I'm sure, personally, but that somebody might have another opinion. But time is not on our side as a factor that we have plenty of. We seem to agree that we need a set of principles, and I would say that the rough consensus is that they should not be too specific, but they should also not be too abstract. Quite a job to find something in between. I think a common sense is also that we shouldn't spend too much time on getting them. And what we have, well, and you measured that temperature in the room already. The representatives from the community do not have the possibility to engage the community on their behalf. So they cannot take decisions for us. They cannot agree or disagree with something on behalf of the community. This still implies, of course, that they can disagree or agree with something, but they will do it on their own behalf. That should be avoided. I think that's the overall sentiment. I think we do the trick with the colors again. Have I missed something out?
I think that's a fair appraisal of it. Did you want to ask a question?
So if you agree that this is roughly what came out of this discussion, something that most of us agree upon, can you raise your green card? That's quite a bit. If you don't agree with this summary, can you raise a red one? That's Jörg.
Our contrarian.
And if you're unsure, you can raise an orange one. I don't know what I'm going to do then, but okay. So there's quite a majority of green cards. Thank you.
Thank you. I do have a stack of cards here. Is there anybody who would like cards that doesn't have cards? And Matt, no, you're not allowed to have a red one. Okay. Thank you. So next up on our speed dating panel here are Eduardo and Keith. And we're going to be, this is talking about the selection process for the four CCTLD members on the coordination committee. And I think just in the title, there's an important distinction. It's for CCTLD members, not CCNSO members. and what we're looking for there. I think that, you know, ICANN has actually tasked the CCNSO with reaching out to the entire CCTLD community and involving the views of the entire CCTLD community. Obviously, there's 150 of us in this particular part of the community, so we're well represented, but it behooves us to make sure that the folks who are not CCNSO members are also very much appraised or advised, informed of what's happening, and encouraged to participate and share their views. So Eduardo and Keith, interested in your views, you know, on what the best possible composition of those four members could be, and also what the selection process potentially could be. I have put a draft one out there suggesting that some filters and composition, but perhaps you could offer your own thoughts.
Just for clarity's sake first, please, you're saying the four members of the selection committee, or what the right attributes for those people are, and then some criteria around that?
Sorry, no, the selection process. If I said the other, I misspoke.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's deal firstly with some high-level aspects for the selection committee. This committee needs to be available now and conclude its work in theory by 2nd of July. So I think firstly it needs to compose of people who have time and capability. Right now, not next week or next month, but right now. And so that probably reduces the sorts of people that we can get our hands on. I think that they should be the sort of people who are not subject to the pressure of lobbying or and so on, and are seen to be independent thinkers and capable of reaching rational and sensible conclusions. They should be able to, as a group, and you know, you'll have a different composition of people, but as a group they need to measure and audit the applications they receive for the positions, and verify that these people will have the skills and the time to serve over the next 15 months or more on this committee. On Sunday in the workshop, we also discussed some limiter to the selection committee, and there was a very strong feeling in the room that if anyone is on the selection committee, they are prohibiting themselves from going forward onto the coordinating committee. So there's probably a principle two for what we were discussing earlier. I there was a suggestion from that workshop that the selection committee should recommend to the council, but I think given the time constraints and the fact that most of us will still be travelling home on or about the 2nd of July, we perhaps have to empower this group to make a binding decision as to those four. And then I think after you've got that, you want to start looking at ensuring that you have geo-diverse, size-diverse members on that group, so representing small or larger registries and so on. One comment I would like to make regarding inside or outside the CCNSO, I think we need to work on getting the best skill set on the committee, but you know, given that the CCNSO members account for about 99.8% of CCTLT registrations overall, there's a pretty compelling case in my mind that the clear majority of people who we're seeking to populate this committee with should be CCNSO members. And that's further reinforced in my mind by the idea that the CCNSO members are bound by our bylaws and should be acting in the CCNSO's best interests. And CCTLD managers outside of ICANN could prove to be somewhat disruptive or not be able to be brought to account in this community so readily. So they might be appointed and not do the job that we expect. So we would be wasting more,
a place on that committee. So my recommendation is that for the selection committee, there should be no more than one non-CCNSO member, and they should be also are looking at a criteria or a principle of not appointing any more than one outside member to the coordinating committee.
And just as a point of clarity, because I did use the wrong word to start with, what we're talking about here is the selection process and the selection committee members and how that happens and what that looks like. And I referred to the fact that I'd put something out on the list, so I should actually say what it was, not just assume everybody read it. I had suggested that the selection committee be comprised of the CCNSO chair, so that would be me, one other CCNSO member, an RO member, somebody surfaced by the regional organizations, and an esteemed independent person very familiar with the community and the overall landscape. And a couple of names have been surfaced there, like Marcus Coomer or Yanis. So that was the suggestion that I put out onto the overall list. Eduardo, your thoughts.
Okay. Thank you. I want to make an echo about everything said by Keith. Yes, I agree with all of this, but probably I came to add some of the things. We also consider that it's good to have one person from the regional organization on the selection committee, just to bring to the table the point of view from the regional organization's perspective, which is not completely different about the CCNSO point of view, but it's a particular point of view, a particular thing that to be considered, and we appreciate that. And regarding the number, why to have four? I don't know. Probably four will be difficult to get an agreement if you are in two pairs in a difference. Probably having three is good. Probably having five, a non-part number, will be better than four for a selection committee. And if we are also considering to have an external person from the CC community, it could be difficult because probably something important also is that this person who will be invited know very well the community. He has to have the possibility, or she has to have the possibility to know everyone in the community that could be postulated for the position as a candidate. So I see really difficult to invite some external person to be participating in this committee that has to be working during this short period of time, as was mentioned, just during this week, because it will end next Wednesday. that worked. So probably my point of view is that we should have, considering all the criteria mentioned by Keith, also to modify the number, not to have four, having just three, and having two members from the CCNSO Council, with the chairman, of course, some other one, and one from the regional organizations, considering that we are also part of the CCNSO. So that's it.
Thanks. Thanks, Eduardo, and thanks, Keith. I think that's very helpful to give people food for thought in terms of how we should constitute this process and the committee itself. Input? Eduardo's made a particular pitch for no outsiders, odd-numbered committee, both reasonable suggestions. Dottie?
Well, this committee obviously has to be a committee of select people, but their job is so short that they'll be finished within a week or so. And so I think that you talk about the coordination. There's other functions that you've talked about, the coordination between the various buckets of activity and the passing of information back from the four members to the rest of the community, so perhaps they should be selected based on some qualifications that meet other needs just beyond that first selection.
Nigel? Thank you, Dottie.
Well, as Byron said earlier, we're definitely in the storming phase right now. So a lot of this is reacting to what people say, and such as Eduardo just now said that he has some doubts about bringing in even the most trusted of trusted outsiders. And I agree with that. I think what we have to do is to realise that we're talking about two different committees. We're not talking about political correctness here. We're not talking about saying that we must be democratically and diversificationally representing this part of the world and that part of the world, particularly in the NOMCOM part of this. You want people who will do the best job possible at identifying the best people to be on this, what's going to be, by the sound of it, a marathon and most important piece of work. So it's right that we look to make sure at least one of them is from a CCTLD that's not a member of the CCNSO, because there is a significant number of TLDs out there that for one reason or other have chosen or find themselves in some difficulties in being members. We were one for a long time. We understand this. On the other hand, it's our process. We're the CCTLD part of ICANN, so we should be managing our own process, and I really have a strong feeling that these four NOMCOM members should be from within ourselves.
Any other thoughts or comments on the process or composition of the selection committee? Annabeth.
Thank you. I really think it's a good idea, like Eduardo said, that to have an odd number could be a good suggestion. As for choosing one from outside this CCNSO, we have candidates there that's really good and has been really into what we are doing without being a member. But the problem is, if we elect these people to the selection committee, then we can't use them in the next round. So we have to think thoroughly, where should we put our strength? Should we use it in the selection committee or in the coordination committee?
I think that's true, but there are also numerous other work streams that whoever ends up here, yes, and I believe whoever ends up here is clearly precluding themselves from being on the coordination committee, but there's lots of opportunities for other work. Can I just take the temperature here on the outside member? Green, if you agree that an outside member should be part of it, or red, if you do not think an outside member should be part of it, or it should be CCs only. Red is CCs only. Green is outsiders as well. Okay. Question of clarification, fair enough, before we go to a vote.
No, it's just like you mentioned Janis Karklins and Marcus Kummer. So when you say an outside member, of course it had to be an outside member that know the business, they know the CCs, and they've been involved before, perhaps, so they know us.
Yes, is the short answer, that it would only be a highly esteemed, well-recognized member of the broad community who would have kind of unimpeachable credentials, and those are the two that we're looking at. So when I say an outside member, I'm not just going to walk out on the street and bring somebody in, but it would be that kind of person. No, and Bernie wouldn't qualify either. So. So we will have to go with the general principle that would be the kind of person, but is there a question in the back? Yeah, I guess I should put my glasses on. Okay, we'll have one more question and then get your cards ready.
Thank you so much, Byron. Peter Vergotte from DNS Belgium. Would it make any difference in sensing the temperature of the room concerning the outsider position if it were an odd number of people in an OMCOM or not? If it were 5, for instance, instead of 4, I think it might change the position of the members towards having an outsider in.
Okay, good point. I like that idea. Let's change it. Let's do the number first. Green for odd number. Green for odd number. Red for you're okay with this. Green for an odd number. Red, it doesn't matter. So material majority green with a non-trivial level of dissent, let's say. But okay, assuming it's an odd number, are we okay with an outsider? And please, I put this suggestion up. I am not wedded to this. It's just a suggestion. Becky.
I would like to make sure that whatever we do, we have the flexibility to do this quickly. So I guess my question is, if there's an outside member that's available quickly versus is it going to take a week to find them? What's I'd go with doing it quickly rather than taking another week to find an outside member.
Okay, so my general sense is level of complexity, lack of overwhelming support is probably the outsider is not where we want to head.
Thank you, Byron. My experience has been with a lot of committees over a long time, and the one thing you avoid at all cost is a three-person quorum. A three-person quorum amounts to 2 people, and a minimum of 5 is generally the only way to go if you're going to have an odd number.
Okay. Last point, and then I'm going to hand it over to the chair.
Actually, I just wanted to make the point that I think one of the rationales for the outside member was the fact that ICANN has asked us to look to non-CCNSO members to participate. So if it's only CCNSO members vetting the applications, and let's say, for example, there are no non-CCNSO people forthcoming, it could call into question the integrity of the whole process. So I don't think the individual need be wedded in CCTLD business, but rather just be someone who protects the integrity of the selection process.
Mr. Chairman. That's you, Roloff.
I'm aware of that, but I was still waiting for your card thing on CCs only or not. Have you?
Yes, so fair enough. I will do that. So your card's at the ready. Green for CCNSO members only?
No, CCs only.
CCs only, thank you. Green for CCs only. Red for outsiders involved too. Oh, that's a mix. Keep them up. Keep them up, please.
There is a green majority, but the red cannot be neglected.
So there's a slim CC member only. Okay, thank you. Put your cards down. Okay, thank you. Provided there's a non-CCNSO member was the comment, perhaps.
Can I do one more thing? Those who just raised their red card, a subsequent question would be, are you in? If you are strongly against a CC-only committee, can you raise your card again?
Strongly against.
Strongly against. You can be in favor of, well, it would be nicer if, but if you're really against. Nobody. Okay.
So nobody raised their red card in strong objection.
I have a question, actually, because it could be interesting to know why do we want an outside member? And I think that Alan's suggestion, the comment was good because it has to do with being legitimate. So we have someone else from us. So it's very easy that it's we are talking for our own sake all the time.
Annabeth, I'm sorry. I'm also the keeper of time. We've got 15 minutes and one more speed panel left.
So can we give Keith just one final comment?
I think we're probably going to hang ourselves in knots if we get too forceful on what we must or must not have. I think the distinct feeling of the room was to say that there was a preference for an outside member, but let's not have to have one. Let's make it that the selection committee should comprise, if possible, of one, and it be a total of five.
Okay, just to be clear, it was the other way around. There was a slim majority preference for CC membership only. It was.
True, but it, in order to... I mean, if we get too prescriptive, we can stall this process and not even launch because you can't find the outside member or whatever. So let's just, let's...
Thank you, Keith. Chairman.
Yeah. Okay. Oops. So maybe first the committee. There is a rough consensus on the fact that we go for five members, an odd number, not three. Four of which will be CCNSO members, one of which will be CC-TLD community member. I think that's it. Maybe I should stop there. Is that it? Is that a good summary? This is not about do you agree with the outcome. Is this a summary? Yes. Okay. Then about the selection criteria. The committee should verify skills, availability of time, and commitment. And this is something that we didn't discuss further, but Keith made the point. He said, I feel that considering the time that we have, that the committee should not advise the council, but should decide. It's quite a distinction. So maybe we need some cards on that too?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. So those who think that the committee itself should decide on the appointees, can you raise a green card? Those who are in favor of the council deciding, can you raise a red card? Okay, that's a clear, rough consensus on the committee decides.
The committee is empowered.
Yep.
Did you?
Just 10 seconds, please. This is Jordi, CCNSO non-com appointee. I've been serving also in the election committee for the at-large. Something that we did, I explained that briefly on Sunday, is that we had a three-step election process. One committee designed the bylaws, the process itself. Another one, based on that, checked all the different proposals for candidates and then made a short list of candidates. And then a third one elected the candidate to the board among those ones. This is too long for that occasion, but maybe this distinction that you've just done now, having the committee doing the shortlist and the process and having the council to decide may help.
Yes, I guess that's part of what separates us from them.
I think that would be
we've
a fair...
We've got to operate and get
I think that would be a
done.
Fair summary, Byron.
Okay, thank you very much. And next, we're from a timeliness perspective...
Just did you want to do a quick poll on that the selection committee members should not be or should be prohibited from selecting themselves?
I made that a general statement at the outset. If you're on the selection committee, you're not a candidate for the coordination committee. I take the chair's privilege and just make that de facto. I think we can all agree on that. The next speed panel is Giovanni and Katrina. Thank you very much. Speed dating panel here. And what we want to talk about is what are some of the criteria, the key criteria? The idea is it's not going to be an exhaustive matrix checklist, but that there will be some key filters through which we view what the appropriate candidates are. And that is the kind of criteria, perhaps, that Jordi was just talking about, that the council in general can provide to the selection committee. So key criteria, and I think Keith has already articulated a few. One, you have to be available. This is a material task that the candidates are expected to participate in. I'll be the bad guy here. This is not a committee to put your name on and not show up. I've heard that that happens from time to time. So this committee, just to be clear, is for people who are ready and willing to work probably up to the level of ATRT2, which is significant time. You should probably have the support, the explicit support of your organization if you're going to participate here. Those are probably the baseline criteria. But Katrina, what else should we be thinking about?
I think that there are two dimensions to this issue. First is what we should have, and another one, what we want. So I think we're all long enough in this community, so we know that we should have geographical diversity, we should have size diversity, like big registries and smaller registries, even though it's quite clear that small registries cannot contribute so much to the process as big registries because of the time and resource, time and resources that smaller registries lack in many cases. Of course, again, another important issue is the gender issue, and here I must say that there's a benefit of being a woman. I may say that I am not a big believer in this gender issue. Yes, Rolf, you are not allowed to say that. So as far as I'm concerned, I would be perfectly fine if all four candidates would be women. Thank you. Thank you. But at the end of the day, what matters is what we want, and we want the best to be our representatives. Again, women, yes. As Lisa said, those are women. Yeah, but those candidates, they must have, already mentioned several times, they must have time. They are ready and willing to contribute to the discussion, and perhaps not even time, but even health, especially mental health.
That's
what I think, that we really need somebody with brains and with common sense, which is so... No, it's very serious, because we need, and probably Giovanni later will
for
say...
The mental health.
And conscience, as again, as several times it was mentioned, that these people will represent a community, and that really will be on their conscience to not to protect their own interests, but really the interests of our community. Giovanni.
Thank you, Katrina. I'm happy to take the floor after the mental health, and. So, we were talking with Katrina earlier about what could be the selection criteria, and indeed time and availability are the key factors in the selection criteria, but also I'd like to add a bit of IANA, a lot of IANA icon literacy. So the understanding of what is the framework they are expected to operate, and they understand also the basically what
what are the duties and the tasks that are going to be performed at IANA level. And also, one important element which I learned from my experience at the NOMCOM, if you represent the CCTLD community, you shouldn't be afraid, because we are a strong community, to speak up. So if you know that there are candidates that are, you know, not welcome at CCTLD level, you know, you may tell openly that from what you gather in the CCTLD community, this person is not the best to fulfill a specific role. So just, you know, people who are free to speak up and make sure that the CCTLD community is well heard in this process. So, yes, Katrina.
Yeah, I think we also should take into account that there are, again, CCNSO members, CCNSO non-members, and probably members of regional organizations who are active, and there are also CCTLDs which are not members of CCNSO, are not members of regional organizations. So we had special commitment on the trying to involve these registries as well. So I think all those criteria should be somehow taken into account.
So time, resources, support from your organization, experience and understanding, so some time and distance in ICANN that you actually significantly understand the issues to begin with. It's probably not a learn-on-the-job role. I mean, I think that's what I understood from you, Giovanni. Some geographic diversity, which will in part take into consideration, I think, the CCNSO versus RO versus completely unaligned membership criteria. Keith, what else?
Can I start to add some more too? I think the a balance of perhaps government run versus non-government CCTLD. I think other criteria could be whether you'd have a mix of not-for-profit and for-profit or structurally different CCTLDs. I think you'd want a mix of skills that would at least cover off technical, in terms of the technical functioning of IANA, versus legal versus policy, overall policy skills. I think a balance of people who've had history in the IANA process going right back, and perhaps some of the people who remember the good old days of ICANN looking for contracts and things. But this is what I'm saying. There's a mix. English fluency is probably quite a high criteria, because all of this will be conducted in English. But again, preference for people who have at least one other language probably stands up. So it's a difficult mix. And what I'm suggesting is that the selection committee probably has to matrix and weight all of those sorts of criteria as well. Some of those things will be much more important than others, but it's there's a delicate balance to ensure that every set of skills that we possibly can have covered is covered as well. So I don't think it's as quick and easy as saying it's got to be geographic diversity and so on. This is about matching the right skills and getting the right people in the room.
Thanks, Keith.
Hi, this is Young. I would just like to add to the criteria of including the non-CCNSO CCs in the selection committee, and maybe as a candidate for the coordination group itself. One of the reasons for including those the non-CCNSO community is to get them involved in. I would like to make sure that an experienced and a very well-versed English-speaking female that we know, or that an individual that is familiar with ICANN is not just selected, but that a mechanism or a method of including more of the CCs in the selection should be considered.
Thanks. And one thing just to note also is that Bart has been working with, I guess, Xavier to get a complete list of all CC operators that this invitation to participate is going to go to, so that we will be communicating to the best of our ability with every CC. And I know the regional organizations are also doing their own work to reach out to everybody in their regions.
Yeah, I think we have an impressive list of criteria. And my goal here is to make things simpler. We need to prioritize. So I would like to respond to some of the ideas by saying I do not agree with this criteria. And the reasoning behind this is by adding all those criteria, we are actually drawing the perfect candidate as being always the same person. As usual, we are drawing candidates towards experts of internet governance. And two of these criteria, I think, are falsely good ideas. One is that English-speaking criteria. Yes, working groups are in English, but it shouldn't be so. This is not a good thing for the whole process that it is only run in English. Therefore, why should we give an advantage to this criteria in our selection, since we're saying it has to be more inclusive? So I would advocate against this criteria. Second is strong experience on IANA. I know it's counterintuitive, but we need brains. We need people who are clever, who can actually think through these topics, but not people who are embedded into the system and who will not want any change. That would actually lead to more difficult discussions and less productive outcome of the process. So let us beware not to produce always the same candidates by creating those criteria based on experience within our industry. And of course, I have nothing against some experts, but it shouldn't be a prerequisite, because it's also blocking from participation a number of very valuable people who are maybe more recent. Thank you.
Sure, Jordi, and then Nigel, and then Eric.
Thank you, Jordi. I subscribe to your words, and I will add something else. I mean, we just said before that the committee is not going to take an opinion by itself, but it's going to listen to the rest of the community. So again, that supports, I think, what you just said too. I mean, they do not need to be the best ones for that, because at the end of the day, they won't make the decisions.
Thanks, Jordi. Mathieu, question for you. I don't disagree with your comment on language, but is this the forum to fight the language battle? If the steering committee is primarily run in English, are we doing a non-English fluent speaker any favors by thrusting them into that, I guess is what I'm asking. Nigel, here. Or maybe I didn't understand you clearly.
Probably it's a clarification. I am not advocating for diversity of language and including people who don't speak English. I am speaking against the criteria. You have to, the prerequisite that you have to be fluent in English. Okay? Do you see the difference? I am not making sure we have a candidate who is non-English speaker. I am saying it must not be a selection criteria that we put on ourselves.
Thank you for that clarification.
Thank you. With that clarification, it's actually a very good point, but that's not what I wanted to talk about. I wanted to go back to Keith a minute ago. I agree with every single criteria that you've put down, Keith. I think it's wonderful. The only problem is I think it's about 27 people. And we are going to, is it four? Put four people on this, and that's a fixed number. We can't just add another one like we did for the NomCom selection committee. So I think that, yes, we can look at all of those things, and they are certainly things that we can take into account. But on the spirit of rough and ready code, I think what we need to do is look at one criteria, criterion, to be precise. And that is that the people that we seat on this four people on this committee are going to be the four people who can fight the best for our corner, and that's what they call an overriding objective in my book.
Thank you. I'm going to hand it back to the chairman after Keith's final comment. I'm sorry. After Keith and Eric.
Okay. Just for the purpose of clarification, I think the overarching requirements were well sounded by the speed daters in the middle of the table, and I was just merely adding some points that should be considered along the way or could be considered along the way as suggestions for the selection panel to use. And if they are using a weighted matrix, they may regard fluency of English as being a low concern compared to maybe some other criteria, but just as a helpful hand to say, here are some of the things that potentially are important to the process. And it's not to say all four members should have IANA history, but as long as you one of the four ticks that box, so in the matrix of selection, these might be useful things, or they might be totally peripheral.
Thanks. Follow Matthew. I will speak in Spanish. Sorry, I will speak in English because the session don't have translation. But we can request about language diversity, gender diversity, size of the CCTLD diversity, non-governmental academic diversity, NGO diversity. But maybe one of the principal focus is regional diversity. If we have five regions, why only have four positions? The same question was made by the GAC 2 hours ago. They request more positions, especially because ICANN division, natural division, is by five, not by four. So it's clear in this case that will be complicated, have a very clear regional diversity in select these four candidates or four persons to represent us.
We've got to go to the chairman. We've got to go to the chairman. Mr. Chairman, can you summarize that?
Yes, I wanted to start on this regional thing. On this regional thing, I wanted to start with one world, one internet. There was something about gender. I'm not allowed to repeat that. But I think Katrina said or meant that they shouldn't all be men. But it could also be they shouldn't all be women. There was something about brains, but that was way above my head. So, and there was something about language, but it was in a funny speech. I didn't get it either. But what we agree or seem to agree upon, skills, time, commitment, and support from the organization as criteria. As far as possible, geographical diversity, diversity in size. IANA, ICANN literacy. Awareness about tasks and duties, etc., of IANA. Something that I wrote down is, but I think that's the gist, is there should be courageous and outspoken people that are self-confident on behalf of the community, so not self-confident by themselves, but about our position, our influence, our territory, so to speak. The committee itself should weigh those criteria. There was quite a few people who remarked about if we ask all these things together, that might be very difficult. They are not on their own, these four people. They have the whole community behind them. They can use that. And that was also kind of a warning not to overreach, not to make it ourselves too difficult. So if this is a proper rough consensus summary, can you please raise your green card? And if it's not, in your opinion, can you give me a red? Okay. Thank you.
I think that's the first unanimous one so far. Nicely done.
Kan je even die e-mails gooien?
Do you have any... Are you finished, Rola?
Yes. Sorry. Yeah, I'm a man. I can only do one.
Thanks. So just recognizing that we're already 10 minutes past the suggested completion date, I did want to open the floor just to any general comments but like our speed daters up here, I'm going to ask you to be fast.
I can do that. Hello. Okay, Margarita. Patricio told me something that maybe could be interesting for people that it's thinking about to be part of the coordination committee, for example, in terms of prepare themselves. Is there a kind of funding for this committee?
Yes, even though the details are somewhat sketchy in terms of how ICANN is going to support it, there's an expectation that there will be additional face-to-face meetings outside of ICANN meetings, and that's, I believe, their first one is scheduled for July 17th. That's what I understand, and I believe it's going to be in London. I'm getting a couple nods from knowledgeable people, so that's what I understand. First meeting will be face-to-face in London, July 17th, and there will be travel support for anybody who is participating. So yes, ICANN will be stepping up for that.
Hi, I'm Victor. About the selection process, it will be a closed nomination process, or it will be open, transparent, that everybody will know who were the persons that were nominated or postulated for the committee, and then we will know who are the four selected. But considering that it's not only a close group as the CCNSO group, that will be another CCs that are not members of the CCNSO, it would be good to have a total transparency of all the names and positions and CCTLDs, where they come from.
Thank you. I think that's a very interesting comment. That has been discussed in some of the early stages of discussion here, that how transparent would this be. There was no decision made per se. It was just part of the discussion. My sense was there was an openness to very significant transparency, that if somebody wanted to put their name forward for candidacy here, that they would be putting it forward to the list, essentially. But there was no particular decisions made on that. So I think that's actually a very good question to put to this group right now, which is, Green, if candidate submissions should be made completely transparent or public to the CCNSO community list? Yeah, I'm just talking about the names, that you are going to apply to be a candidate here. You're going to submit your name to be a candidate, that would be transparent, and that everybody would be able to see that on the CCTLD mailing list. If that is what we should do, green card, if you have reservations, orange or red, could you please show us that? Hey, I got another unanimous one. Okay, so 100% green on that. I think we'll take that away for the council, that one of the criteria will definitely be that names submitted will be available to everybody on the list.
Thank you, Baron. So, Carsten Schiefner, the corollary of that would be that a candidate who is not willing to have his or her name disclosed can't be a candidate then. Is that a fair assumption? Okay.
Probably if you want to be representative of the community should know who you are, I guess. Are there any other general thoughts, comments? One more, Dottie. Well, we're going to talk about that at the council meeting starting shortly, as per the agenda. So we will be talking about that, about how to. Now that, what I do want to say is thank you very much. This session, while fluid in nature and design, was actually very helpful for all the council members and the community to get a sense of where we're at, or at least the general direction of travel that we'll then be talking about in the council meeting, and trying to put a little finer point on how we actually conduct this. And of course, you're always welcome to sit in on the council meeting, which will be starting in about 15 or 20 minutes. So with that, Mr. Chairman.
The chair thanks the moderator for speaking on his behalf. No, thank you all. I think it was quite interesting, and we have a good outcome.